Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
My name's James Higgins. I was born the same month PlayStation 3 came out.
I am Porter Bartone, and I was born 1 month before the Nintendo Wii came out.
My name is Matthew Schaefer, and I was born 2 months after the first Transformers came out.
My name is Michael Misa. I was born 3 months before Spider-Man 3 came out.
My name is Jake O'Brien, and I was born the same month the final episode of The Sopranos came out.
My name is Caleb Denoy, and I was born 1 month before Shrek 3 came out.
My name is Jackson Smith, and I was born 2 months before the last Harry Potter novel came out.
You know,
wow.
None of those dates really mean much to me, though. That's the thing.
I think the only one that hit me the most was Shrek 3.
Okay, so what Shrek year is that?
What I don't know. That? I just know Shrek 1 was like when I was a kid.
These guys were born in 2006, 2007. 2007.
All those guys were born in 2007.
Born in 2007. The way to drive it home for me is, my name's so-and-so, and I was born the day that Breer and Drury left.
Right.
Right? Or, hold on, let me do
right, like Matthew Schaefer was born September 5th of 2007. So he was born after Breer and Drury left.
Well, the way I want to do that is, hi, my name is Matthew Schaefer, and I was born 4 days before the Kevin Everett game.
Oh.
Right?
Wow.
Like,
there you go.
I'm much more likely to be able to slot my years and how far away that was.
Sure.
That the Bills lose that game 15-14 on a late field goal, that's the Kevin Everett game, right? That's September 9th.
That is Jason Elam sprinting onto the field with like 5 seconds left and kicking a field goal.
That does feel a long time ago. It's 18 years.
Yeah, it does.
So I know they're
that
young.
That was a long time ago.
And I know that I'm old, but older. But, you know, you tell me you're born when the Nintendo Wii came out. Like, I don't know what that was. When that was.
You didn't have gaming systems, though? Like, was your first one?
I had them all the way up. I had my first one is Nintendo. I had gaming systems all the way up.
How far back is, like, okay, so the Nintendo ones.
The Nintendo.
On PlayStation.
I never had an Atari. Yeah, I went from Nintendo to PlayStation, sure. Okay. So I had a PlayStation 3, but I wouldn't just associate like the year it came out. Yeah. I don't really know.
And movies isn't working for that either. Spider-Man 3, this Tobey Maguire
Spider-Man
3.
Of all the movies to pick, picking one where there are 1,000 different versions of the movie is tough.
Well, that's where you get if you get the three in there, I think is what really makes it hit. It's not just Shrek, it's the third Shrek.
Okay. Still. Doesn't do it for me. If he had said instead, my name is so-and-so, and I was born the year that, like, what's the best picture in 2007? That's what I want to know. The year that
the Patriots went undefeated.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that better?
I guess. 2007.
Doesn't that seem like longer? That seems longer ago to me, though, than any of these other cultural references. I think.
Maybe.
Kevin Everett game feels like a lifetime ago. PlayStation 3 doesn't, for some reason.
Right.
It's only two gaming systems ago for me. So, depends.
Like
Sopranos feels long ago.
That does feel long ago. Another movie that came out the same year as Spider-Man 3 is the movie 300.
There you go.
Like, that's a one-off. I'm more likely to remember that time than one of the 37 Spider-Man movies in all the multiverses that have been made. That said, all the multiverse movies are awesome.
What about Click?
No idea.
No?
What's Click?
Okay.
The Adam Sandler movie?
Never mind.
Am I supposed to remember what year that came out in 2007?
Yeah. No, we're good.
I did not see it.
We don't need to go into a Click history here.
Hey, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Happy Friday. Hanging out, talking, you know, kind of some Sabres offseason. You want to throw a call our way, we're happy to take it. The McDavid sweepstakes are about to get interesting, right? He was as non-committal as you could be about Edmonton, which doesn't mean he's eyeing the door. He just is not committing. He's not committing to the future yet. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
Yep.
You know, anytime you go into a contract year, it's the same as the Tuck situation. Without obviously different players, different organizations, but the same contract. Like, we're not going to trade you. We need you here this year. We'd love to keep you. And if you ultimately leave, okay. I do not think this is for either player a scenario where the team should say, well, got to get what you can. I wouldn't do that with Tuck. I wouldn't even consider it. There's, to me, no reason to rush the timeline on Tuck. If the Sabres want to re-sign him, that's fine. To that point about re-signing Tuck, so am I off base on this about age of players? It feels like this drought is how long? 14 years?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like for a good long chunk of it, we have been talking about young players and the youth, this player doesn't fit their timeline, right? Oh, mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to trade for Jacob Chychrun. He's 27. Okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, it feels like, and maybe we were doing it, maybe the Sabres were doing it, maybe chatter around the Sabres was this, that, oh, too old. You don't want old guys. And I think in the NHL, that's not a thing anymore. Matt Duchene signed an extension yesterday
mm-hmm.
for 4 years.
Yeah.
Do you know how old Matt Duchene is?
Is he like 33?
34.
34. Yeah.
Joe Pavelski played until he's 80. A lot of these veterans play for a long time. And is it a coincidence that the Sabres sign a guy, Jason Zucker, 32, last year? And I go, well, that's kind of old. And he was good. And they sent him to a 2-year extension?
Mm-hmm.
Do I really have to think that Alex Tuck is going to be too old when I sign him to a 7-year deal? I kind of don't think I do. I see tons of NHL veterans. It's not like the NFL where guys drop off a cliff.
Yeah.
Think of how fast you go from the peak to too old. Sorry, you're done. That can be Dalvin Cook. That can be Diggs. That can be a lot of guys. Oh, boom, it's over for you. In the NHL, I see lots of guys playing into their mid to late 30s.
That's right. There are also examples on the other side.
Like, that's right, but I don't want to treat it.
Chris Kreider is a guy who, like, but he can be a little bit of your point, too, where up until age 33, really good.
33.
And it was just this last season where finally it's like, okay, the wheels look like they're starting to fall off.
How old is Brad Marchand?
37.
37.
Yeah.
This is not a sport that if you are good and you can stay healthy, the young guys come in and they don't just blow the doors off these old guys anymore.
I think that there's a big part of it, though, that is, I think a lot of these guys that, most of them, that have lasted long into their careers have a certain trait in common, and it's their skating. Because I think the slow guys, think of Matt Molson at the end with the Sabres, right?
Right.
Or think of Skinner right now, like, as he kind of ages. I feel TJ Oshie was this a little bit for Washington. They signed him to a long-term deal. He didn't make it to the end of that. I think if you're a great skater, you have a longer shelf life. And that's Marchand. That is, I mean, Kreider even until this year, really fast skater. Tuck is one of the fastest skaters in the league. Like, he's got that trait. That's where, like, I look at him and say, okay, sure, when he's 35, maybe 36, it might fall off, but I don't know if I want to assume that with him. Because you're right, like, Corey Perry was just on the first line of a team that was in game 6 of the Stanley Cup final, and he's 40? That might say a little about the Oilers, too, that...
Well, they're missing Zach Hyman.
They're missing Zach Hyman, but their depth was such that one injury got him to their first line. But
how old is Zach Hyman?
I don't know how old Zach Hyman is.
33.
And he scored. Didn't he score 50 goals last year?
But do you remember the same way that I do?
It is not automatic. Like, it's not running backs in the NFL where there's like three guys that past 30 can still produce. Like, there are a number of examples in the NHL.
And do you remember it the same way as I do? I mean, the Sabres have been I don't know where I could do this. Ask Google, ask AI. How many times the Sabres have been one of the three youngest teams in hockey in the last 10 years? Oh, is it every single year?
I mean, I can look by year. They've been at least bottom five.
It's almost like they're allergic to veterans, and they finally started to add some. Granato convinced them to get, like, a Greenway. How'd that go? It's gone pretty well. He plays his role well. Zucker, that's gone pretty well. The idea of adding veterans in the room where they can make a difference mm-hmm. and, I don't know, make the team a little bit more of a, I'm not trying to insult the guys on the team that are adults, but an adult team, a men's team. It's been this promise of a kids team that's kind of grow into something, and they never really supplemented it with, they acted like they were allergic to guys that were 28. And right. I'm watching guys that are 34 get extensions from great teams. So part of my adjustment is, you know, open it up to guys on the back end that can contribute for you. And I guess that's Eric Staal to a point, too. But that's the very end for him.
No, I know. And I'm looking back in that season, where did the Sabres rank 25th that year from oldest to youngest.
Yeah.
So,
and they're doing it with goalie. They're doing it with Craig Anderson. They're doing it with, like, on and on.
You got to go back to 2019 to find the last time the Sabres were outside the top 10 in the youngest teams in the league.
2019.
And they were barely. They were the 20th oldest team. So when's the last time they've ranked inside the top 20?
A top half team in terms of age.
Top half? Yeah. I mean, it might be the whole drought. Honestly.
Yeah.
They have always been young. And that's where, like, any trade this season that sounds like, you know, picks and prospects, like, just I'm at a no thanks. The Sabres are kind of, I think, only able to go in one direction, but that's, I think, the right direction. Going younger just doesn't make any sense. Like, to me, they have to go older, and they also should go older at the same time. So, I don't know, like, and just waiting and waiting and waiting for guys to grow into it, this is kind of the point of the last core of it. Like, you're waiting. By the time some of these guys have matured to the point where they're the veterans, they're not here anymore because you've asked them to go through 6 years of losing before they are, you know, really reaching maybe their peak maturation date. You know, Dahlin is – and Thompson maybe a little bit more, or Dahlin more, but Dahlin is just probably hitting – like, this is the prime of it. This is Norris prime of his career. And by the time you've reached that to where, oh, he's not a kid anymore. He's not 22 anymore. Now he's like, man, one more year and I'm done. Two more years and I'm done. Just because you're sick of it by that point in time. Yeah. It really is a point to say, don't bring him up early yet. Don't start the clock. Not just the clock on their contract. Don't start the clock on them getting fed up with losing. Zach Benson, you know, whenever it's, okay, he's on the Sabres, it's more, wow, how can you have a team where an 18-year-old can even make the team like that? Or can, like, do you want to start burning his contract already? Start thinking of it more as Zach Benson is 20 and he's already 2 years into a certain threshold that everybody can take. Wait till he's 21 to get here, because then by his fourth year where he's starting to get frustrated, well, he's 25 instead of now where, like, in 3 years he might be like, man, this is brutal. And he's still only 23.
Brad in Lackawanna. Hey, Brad.
Morning, gentlemen. You guys had a lead up, and I appreciate you guys. I really do. I just unselfishly want to start before my Sabres comment. I was watching the news this morning. There's this kid in Buffalo kid. It's a Bilson family. I don't even know these people, but I seen it on the news. So I emailed the president, and I figured, well, that might not go very far. So I thought maybe the Buffalo community might be able to step up to help this kid in any which way or form. It just seemed like the right thing to do. And with that said, I just wanted to talk about the Sabres real quick. And I thought that if we were going to pay veterans like Marchand, obviously we wouldn't want to overpay. But it would be nice to add him, maybe Jonathan Marceau, Jonathan Martinez, and Gabe Perreault from the Rangers. And then just get rid of our bad contracts. And that's where I wanted to lead with that, you know.
Mm-hmm. How many bad contracts the Sabres? Thanks, Brad. How many bad contracts the Sabres have?
Samuelson's bad contract.
I mean, it's not even that bad. It's $4 million. And they might buy him out.
Yeah, it's long.
It's long.
They should buy him out. I don't know if they will.
I guess it's
think
bad.
Think they'll buy him out?
Unless somebody can, you know, figure him out.
I mean, Clifton's a bad contract, but it's only three and it's only 1 year, right? So, anchor contracts, though, this is the first time they haven't had one that's like a huge number. Because, like, Poso was that. And then Skinner was that until he got back to being like a point-per-game player and someone who could score. But, yeah, I don't know what that would be. Yeah, but all those ideas, like those 30-year-old, you know, Marchand, I don't think would come here. But if you offer him $2 million more per year, maybe he'll think about it. That is the market I'm going to want them playing in. I still don't know how confident I am that they're going to try, though. Like, are they going to be in those meetings? Are they going to be making those calls? Are they going to call Brad Marchand this offseason? Are they going to call Marner? They tried to get Brad Richards. They failed.
That's a long time ago.
I know. But, like, are they going to even swing? this go around? Or are they going to throw their hands up and say, yeah, we're not even going to try because we know we're just going to get denied on that front? Because I'd want them to at least try. By the way, I'm going back. I'm now at 2012, and I still haven't found the Sabres being in the top half of the league in age.
Which, it's not always great to be old, but I mean, at some point.
Right. But I just, I don't know how, I'm still trying to figure out how aggressive they'll really be in free agency. Trades, I feel like I could see them being pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Free agency, there are a lot of good names. And are they going to, like, do you think we're going to see a report that the Sabres are going to try to meet with Mitch Marner or something like that? That they're even going to be making an effort?
I mean, you'd like to see it, knowing that you might just do it as PR. If you're the Sabres and...
I think you'd want it out there if you were them.
That's right. If you're the Sabres and things are, whatever, rocky, you still have to operate like you fake it till you make it almost.
Mm-hmm.
Make those calls. You never know.
Yeah.
Make those calls. You got to do what you can and shoot your shots. That's the best I've got.
Yeah. I found the last time they were in the top half of the league in score in average age, and they were the eighth oldest team in 2010-2011.
And they won the division?
That's the last year they made the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
That's the seventh.
The year before. Gotcha. So the year after.
The last time they were in the top half of the league, they were in the playoffs.
It's been a kids team for a long time.
And listen, they could go add a couple of free agents, veterans, trade for a couple guys. They're not going to be that this year.
Don't you think?
Like going into the year, they're still so young.
To this point, don't you think that? I mean, Lindy obviously would have value for this. Don't you think that Stahl and Yarmo are going to be leading that charge? Like, enough with kids.
Mm-hmm.
You've got plenty of kids.
Mm-hmm. Go get some veterans?
Yeah. You got a couple of veterans, but this, I don't know. I would like to believe that's
often how Pekkalainen operated in Columbus.
Right. Paterka and Byram, let's say they go. You're not coming back with picks and prospects. You're not coming back with it's Konsta Hellenius' time. Like, no.
Oh my goodness.
No, it's gonna be guys that play in the league. Find a way to get those guys. Like,
right. Right. The idea of someone from Rochester making the team out of camp sounds like just an abysmal idea to me. They could even earn it. And I don't want to see it. I don't want to see the 19-year-old be the catalyst for, he's gonna be the reason.
803-0550.
Like Kulik, it's part of what your expectation is. Your expectation is just anything with the guy that looks good, you'll be happy with. Yuri Kulik last year. Everyone feels pretty good about his season, right?
Yeah, really good.
You know how many points he had last year?
Is it like 30?
It's like 23.
Yeah.
Everyone feels good about it. That's the part of it, though.
He didn't play that. How many games did he play?
He played like 60-something games. 60? He had 15 goals and like 9 assists. Guy played... Again, like I'm good with him, and I think he's going to be a really good player for them. Lindy loves him, talked about at the end of the season. But the guy played 62 games for you. A lot of that is your number one center, and he had 9 assists. That's the rookie point.
You know, when you put it that way.
Like, you can't have 20-year-olds playing in roles like that anymore.
You can give us a call on this if you want. Quick point on the golf. The Travelers is this weekend?
The Travelers, they're ripping up this course.
What a follow-up to the U.S. Open, which is just, try to hit it out of these giant patches of knee-deep stuff and grass that you lose your feet in. And now it's perfectly manicured, greens that are shaved all the way to the water.
Mm-hmm.
This is at TPC River Highlands. It's a beautiful course. And the most beautiful thing about it is, here's golf, folks. Ready? Golf.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. Open champ J.J. Spaun.
Yeah.
Only player under par at Oakmont. Look at this guy. His career is peaking. Where did I see him yesterday? 10 strokes off the lead. Plus 2.
In round 1.
Round 1.
It's only round 1.
10 strokes off in round 1. Beautiful. Absolutely love to see it.
Yep.
I'm the U.S. Open champ. I'm made in the shade. I'm 10 strokes back in the first round.
Well, this course, everybody is obliterating because it's so much easier than Oakmont. Like Scheffler and who's tied in the lead with him? Scheffler and whoever's eight.
It's Austin Austin
Eckerd or whatever.
Yeah, like
they're both 8 under par.
Yeah, Rory is 6 under.
So they're on pace to be 32 under. It's
They just went for a 10-mile jog with ankle weights and they took them off.
Well, right, like, but Spawn.
Oh man, I feel great.
The hardest course anyone's played on in like years. Spawn was -1 over 4 rounds, and yesterday at is it 10 times easier? Golf course.
Oh yeah,
he was over par. He had a worse score at this course that everybody is like, it's so easy. It's a joke. And he was under par at Oakmont.
That's
wild.
Spieth withdrew. He's hurt. You see, he took a swing, and he was clearly in pain. Yeah.
Was the swing like throwing a club at the ground?
No, it's just teed off and like, ugh. So he's hurt.
Do you know who's going through it this year? You would bet him earlier in the year, right? Shane Lowry.
Oh, man. I saw him yesterday. He tried to chip up on the green twice and had it roll back on him.
Yes. I was stunned he didn't, like, throw his club.
Yeah.
Because he's been a hothead lately, and I did see that. That was a one-of-us moment. He's, like, 10 yards off the green, and it's, like, a little hill.
Yeah.
He put it on the hill, rolled back to his feet, then had a second shot at it, did the exact same thing, rolled right back to his feet.
This is an elevated event. This is a great tournament, this one. Yeah. You know, they've got the floating umbrella in the water. You gotta love a golf tournament where there's water and they can go ahead and throw either a logo or a car. It's like put a Jeep out there in the pond. That's I need that at my golf tournament. I'd like that at a British Open. Mm. Like, give me a FedEx logo. And no, they don't really have ponds at the British.
No, you need a good sponsor with a good logo. Like the umbrella works.
Pretty solid.
I don't need a giant. What are you trying to do? You put a giant FedEx logo in the water? I mean,
they do that for the FedEx Championship. There's a giant FedEx.
It's not the same.
I just like the floating logo. That's what I'm trying to say. Give me the floating, the moored logo.
Like if there was a Geico event of some sort, like put like a giant Godzilla sign, like the lizard from the commercials, that like in the lake.
Seems like a good idea to me. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring if you'd like. Hanging out, talking some Sabres offseason, among other things.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
NFL top 100. We're getting closer to that. And I saw another top 100 to bring up. You got something?
ESPN came out with their quarter century team in the NFL.
Okay.
And there's a former Bill on there.
I bet I know who it is. I'm going to say I know who it is.
Okay.
We'll get that next.
I don't think I've ever looked forward in my life to going to OKC. I do now. I can't wait for Sunday night. I can't wait. Game 7. I don't know if we've been in a situation that we can look as forward to a Game 7 as we can look forward to this one in quite a long time. I believe it's a pick 'em. It's anybody's game.
Sunday night.
Okay. I'm excited for Game 7, too. But
he's got a heck of a solitaire round ready to go. He's ready. I got it to iPad this time instead of the phone. iPad. I'm going to rock this solitaire game.
It is easily... Well, there haven't been many. Since I've been watching basketball, it's definitely last among NBA Finals Game 7s for me, though. Definitely.
Oh, Warriors.
So there've only really been 3, though. Warriors, like, in the last 20 years, there have only been, I guess there have been 4. There have been 4 Game 7s in the last 20 years.
Warriors, Cavs.
Yep, 2016.
Lakers, Celtics.
2010. Yep, I remember watching that. Yep. That was good. It was very low scoring. It was like 70.
I was going to say 81 won the game, maybe?
81 to like 76 or something.
Yeah, it was
like,
not a good game.
No. There wasn't a lot of offense. And then you're missing one in between and then one before.
Did the Heat go to a Game 7?
Yep.
Heat Mavericks?
Nope.
Heat
Spurs.
Heat Spurs.
Ray Allen's big shot to tie it, that was Game 6.
Yeah.
So then they went to Game 7. I don't think that game was close. And then 2005 is the other one. Spurs and Pistons.
Gotcha.
I don't remember that one. And then you got to go back to 94 for the Rockets and the Knicks.
That I remember.
Was that in New York?
No, Houston.
Okay.
Because they used to do the 2-3-2 format. And now they do 2-2-1-1-1.
Okay.
2-3-2.
Is game seven when the OJ chase happens, or is that a different game of the series?
That's game five.
That's game five?
Yep. Okay. That's game five. That series, you know what? All right, you want to do something random here on a Friday? This is like,
why not?
Let's remember some stuff. Look up game six, Knicks Rockets, John Starks shooting percentage from three.
Okay.
I want to say he went like 1 of 13 or something nuts.
Okay.
He had.
The final score was 86-84.
Okay. So the Rockets won by two. Because the
Rockets won by two.
The Knicks were up 3-2 in the series.
Okay.
And lost game six by two. And I think Starks missed in either game six or game seven, he missed a million shots.
Starks went. Ooh, my problem is I'm in the series right now. Game four?
Game six.
Six or seven. There it is. Game six.
Game six. All right. I'm in high school. My best friend likes the Knicks, and I don't. And I remember ruthlessly mocking him because of John Stark's shooting performances in one of those games.
It wasn't six because he went 5 of 9.
Okay, check game seven.
Let's see. Did they have a shot to win the title at the end of that game? Game six?
That I don't remember.
They're down two. Did they have like a three to win it? I think it would be more remembered, right? When I know it, if there was like a missed shot to win the title. Although Ewing had a missed shot, didn't he, somewhere? I don't remember if that was the finals, though, or not. Okay, here you go. Game seven.
Olajuwon blocked the last second three-point attempt from Starks.
Okay, at the end of game six?
Yep.
Okay, so what you were looking for is game seven.
Game seven. What did he do?
They lost by six. So the Rockets won the title. They won by six. And John Starks went a cool 0 of 11 from three-point land.
There you go.
0 of 11.
Curry didn't. No, Curry didn't do that. When the Cavs beat the Warriors in one of those games along the way, it might have been whatever. I think it's game seven. The very famous one with LeBron and the block.
Oh, the end of that game?
The Warriors went 0 for 11 in the fourth quarter from three.
Yeah.
0 for 11 in the fourth to allow Cleveland to stay in it.
And I don't think they hit a single basket after the four-minute mark.
Yeah.
Like it was, and that was true of both teams. That was stressful and it was high drama, and I remember loving it, but nobody scored for like the last, like nobody wanted it. LeBron missed a few shots. Kyrie was missing shots. Klay was missing shots. Steph was missing shots. And then finally one of them hit one. But like
Kyrie hit a big one.
And one of them was the LeBron block that was going to be one of the Warriors baskets with less than 2 minutes left. But go watch the last like 4 minutes of that game on YouTube, and it's 3 minutes of nobody can do anything.
Well, that's how you get a final score in the 80s, right?
Right. Final score of that game was 93-89.
Yeah.
93-89.
803-0550. Would you tease going to the break?
So the ESPN released their all quarter century team.
So 53-man
roster plus coaches.
2000 to 2025.
Yep. So 53-man roster and then coaches also.
And there's a former Bill.
There's one former Bill on this list.
So
who is it, and who should be on this list as a former Bill? I think you could argue for a couple.
Bills that would make the 53-man roster of the last 25 years.
Yeah, 2000 to 2025.
Okay, I'm writing down two names that I think should make this list.
Okay. So you already are saying that one person should be on it that isn't.
Maybe. That have a case.
I mean, surprised that one Bill wasn't on this list.
My first answer is T.O.
T.O. is correct.
Okay. T.O. should be on the list.
T.O. is on, he is one of six wide receivers on the list. They list him as the number five receiver behind Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson, and Randy Moss. So I guess he's the number four.
Pretty good.
Yeah. And then Marvin Harrison and Justin Jefferson are the other two receivers.
Everybody eats on that team, by the way. They all get the ball.
Yes.
Matchup dependent.
Uh-huh.
The other name I thought right away would have been Mario.
Oh, okay.
Mario's great.
Right.
He's not going to the Hall of Fame, but, you know, he's drafted, right at the beginning of that era, and he had a bunch of sacks.
First overall.
He was great.
First team All-Pro for the Bills. But, although, wasn't he not as dominant before his couple of big Bill seasons as maybe he was supposed to be?
Number one pick is hard to live up to, but he was very good in Houston. There was an injury here or there, but
like in six seasons before he got to the Bills, he had double-digit sacks twice.
Yeah, and then he did it with the Bills three times.
And he made second team All-Pro once.
Yeah.
Like, his best seasons were with the Bills.
Who has,
like, definitively, they were with the Bills.
Who else has the best case to be on the all-century team that played for the Bills?
There's one guy that I thought was going to be on here, and he wasn't. That's Jason Peters.
Right?
I thought Jason Peters would be on here. Now, yep. You know, they're no slouch, the two guys that are on here. They only, it's 53-man roster, so they went Joe Thomas and Trent Williams.
It's tough.
So it's like, yeah, that is tough sledding.
Yeah.
So maybe he came close to making it.
Are the running backs Derrick Henry?
Go ahead.
How many backs?
Three backs.
Derrick Henry, LaDainian Tomlinson.
You have one right. Derrick Henry is the third back.
Third
on
back.
This team.
No LT.
No LT.
In this quarter century. Okay, so Derrick Henry and boy, is this
another active player?
It's Saquon?
Nope.
Okay, good. I feel like he should not make it.
He shouldn't. I wonder if you're going to think this other guy should make
it. Is it Kamara?
Nope.
McCaffrey.
McCaffrey.
Okay. Henry, McCaffrey.
I think you could be here a while trying to guess who. This is the first listed running back on their list.
Terrell Davis.
No. He's not a Hall of Famer. And I don't think I've ever even heard him discussed as a Hall of Famer.
Sean Alexander?
Priest Holmes?
Priest Holmes is the number one running back in the last 25 years?
That's what they wrote here. Super Bowl champion, one-time offensive player of the year, three-time All-Pro, 9,200 yards.
Isn't it the other Chiefs running back, Jamal Charles, that we all know was like he's statistically the best back ever to play?
Jamal Charles is the all-time leader in the NFL in yards per carry. Right,
okay.
But they have Priest Holmes number
Priest
one.
Holmes ahead of Derrick Henry? I'm sorry. Who wrote this list?
That was a weird one.
I'm going to write them a letter.
Aaron Schatz and Seth Walder. Okay, so we're going at it from more of an analytical end.
I'm sorry. I'm still not giving you Priest Holmes. And the quarterback is going to be Brady?
Yes. Brady and there's three quarterbacks. This is an easy one.
Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes?
No, Brady, Manning, Mahomes.
Okay.
Peyton Manning, obviously, if that needed to be said.
Not Arch?
No. Is there any other Bill that should have come close?
Von Miller.
Von Miller.
Okay.
But there's a case there.
Like Terrence McGee is kick returner, I think should have been. But Devin Hester is tough to beat. Von. I mean, the edge rushers, you tell who should Von have made it over? DeMarcus Ware, Jared Allen, Miles Garrett, and Julius Peppers? That's no TJ Watt. That's no, you know, Michael Strahan on this list. So I don't know. That'd be pretty tough, I think, for him to make that. And otherwise, that's Ed Reed, former Bills assistant coach.
There you go.
There's another one. You want to guess who the coaches are? The head coach, offensive coordinator, and defensive coordinator.
Okay, head coach is Belichick.
Yep.
Offensive coordinator is it's going to be a guy that is a head coach, right?
Yeah, but he also was an offensive coordinator.
Kyle Shanahan. Offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan. And defensive coordinator, I'm going to get this. The best?
I think you could get it. I'm not favoring Jeremy to get it. I'm going to put him like plus 150, plus 200.
This guy's been a head coach also?
Yeah.
Defensive coordinator, also a head coach. Who is? Dick LeBeau.
It's not Dick LeBeau.
I had two other names that I was thinking right away. It's going to be defensive coordinator who's thought to be like one of the best defensive minds in football the last 25 years, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be Marvin Lewis.
And I guess this could be a hint, but I think he's coached basically the whole 25 years. Although I'm checking to see if he's still in the league.
Is it Vic Fangio?
It's not Vic Fangio. He is okay. He is not still in the league because he is coaching the San Antonio Brahmas of the UFL.
Oh,
he's the head coach.
The other name I was thinking was like Jim Johnson.
No, nope.
San Antonio. Boy,
Bills fans could be shouting this at you right now.
Really?
Could be.
It's not. Who's the best defensive coordinator? Who's the best defensive mind that's not Belichick in the last 25 years? Is it Wade?
Wade.
Wade.
Wade Phillips.
Wow.
Yeah. Defensive coordinator of their quarter century team. Yep.
Wow.
I mean,
That's some good respect for Wade.
Yeah. I mean, he won the Super Bowl with the Rams as the defensive coordinator, right? So he's got a ring there, and that defense was great. That's what is weird. Like, I would recognize him as like one of the all-time defensive coaches that I've grown up with, but when I point out to you his resume, tell me the team that had a dominant defense. Ready? The 2000 Bills, the 2002 and 2003 Falcons, the 04 through 06 Chargers, the 07 through 10.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And Cowboys, the Texans from 2011 to 2013, the Broncos in 15-16, the Rams for 3 years. None of those are like, would anybody have mentioned them if I mentioned the best defenses of the last 25 years? Like the 2012 Texans?
Yeah.
The 2015 Broncos? Actually, that one you probably would
yes,
have.
For sure. Them, yes.
Okay, that makes more sense. That's Wade. That's the Super Bowl team where Peyton Manning is terrible, but the defense is like the best ever.
Yep. They beat Cam.
Okay, this makes a little more sense then. He's been the defensive coordinator for two Super Bowl champions with great defenses. We'll get behind Illinois.
We'll get a break in 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR. Windy yesterday. Joe was going out to play golf, which if you know something about Joe, he likes playing in super windy conditions. I went to the range. I would describe it as a 3-club wind at the range. You played in wind.
You know, you always have to mention though, like how you go into the wind. Those shots where you have the wind at your back. I mean, that's awesome.
I don't have the science.
Just ride that wind an extra like 70 yards sometimes.
I don't have the science to back this up. In my life, I've played into the wind 2,000 times, and with the wind behind me, 4.
I think
those are the advanced numbers of how often I've ever felt the wind behind me on a golf course. Somehow they designed it so it never happens.
I think on average it should be like 50-50.
In theory.
Yeah. Should be.
The real feel is that it never happens. Anyway. Here we are.
I got poured on yesterday golfing like it was like we jumped in a pool. To the point where we had to pull our carts into a line of trees because we could not make it back to the clubhouse the way it was like. I guess at some point you're so wet you should have just kept going, but ducking under trees for 20 minutes until you see a break was a unique golf experience yesterday. I think a lot of people got rained on, though, not just where we were.
I saw a real quick story, flex scheduling. Mm-hmm. Is coming to another league. The NFL has their flex scheduling. There's another league that's adding flex scheduling.
Can I guess? Is it Premier League?
It is.
Because the other ones in hockey and basketball, you would never do that.
Not really.
Because there's so many games. Premier League's one a week.
Yep.
Or sometimes two, but.
So because of the reason is a little bit different, though. It's not quite.
Like get the best matchups?
It is some of that, but it's also you have so many international competitions like Europa, blah, 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 you know, Champions League.
Yeah.
All of that means you're smashing a lot of games in the FA Cup. So they are going with more flex scheduling where instead of moving a game by weeks, they're going to be, okay, we can move it a couple days, flex things in and out.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit more friendly is my read on it.
Okay. That is very different, though. That's because, like, so they're not playing, like, 3 games in a week or 4 games in a week because they have different competition, especially the good teams, right? Because they're playing in Champions League and FA Cup and their Premier League schedule. Like, there would be a lot going on at the same time.
Yeah. 9 teams are playing in international competitions. So okay. That's half the league. So they've got to, like, try to deal with it.
Gotcha.
803-0550, our phone number. A little fantasy chatter when we get back, as maybe you're getting closer to draft season. I've been throwing out some dynasty trades the best I can.
Yep.
So Davis Maddox is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk a little fantasy football. You know, if you have a thought, send it our way. We're happy to ask a question, pass it along. It's coming up here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.